condoning this on the basis of what? Like, you're saying, oh, well, they're Muslims, so who cares? This 9/11 programming where we just don't see Muslims as, like, human life.
I agree with her completely.
Attacking millions of Americans because they're Muslims? It's disgusting.
Is it like a contagious disease? Are you going to contract Islam because you walk inside the door?
Can tell that we live Christians and Muslims together, side by side.
This is the type of stupid bigotry that I've been trying to deal with among Catholics. Who are agitating, getting people to do things and feeling completely powerless. Abbott says during the whole COVID thing, oh, you're welcome to Texas. That's the free speech capital. We're not going to ban you. Up. Oh, it's exactly the position that Charlie Kirk was in. So they're trying to get out of there. You look at the cars, what happened to those cars? They actually say, am I screwed? Am I going to hell? Are you saying there's a double standard here?
I'm asking you. You're the academic.
I think there's a double standard here.
This is the Dean.
Greetings of peace. Welcome, everybody. Before I bring out my next guest, who's author of 30 books, lecturer all around the world, and one of the leading Christian academic scholars today. Before I bring out Dr. Jones, let's get into this video and get his reaction to it. And then I have a lot of questions for him on his latest article and much more.
I have been very disappointed with Trump on his perspectives about Gaza. Conservatives, people that say they're Christians, who are condoning this on the basis of what? Like, you're saying, oh, well, they're Muslims, so who cares? This 9/11 programming where we just don't see Muslims as, like, human life, and really realizing how much we had been lied to about what was happening in that region.
Dr. Jones, how are you, sir?
Good. Good to be here.
Good to have you back on the program. So we kicked it off with this video. What are your thoughts?
I think that I agree with her completely. We have been witnessing this side for 2 years now and feeling completely powerless to do anything about it. And what the have done is basically destroy their reputation for the entire world. And I don't think they'll ever get it back. They will never get it back. I think Israel is going to end and they will never get it back. And the fundamental conflict that we're facing right now is whether there is a universal moral law that applies to all men, everyone, mandatory. Invoke things like the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, and go down the line. Okay, theft is also part of it. And it's being shredded right now as we're talking. And I think it has to do with the end of the American Empire, the end of the Third Republic, and acts of desperation that are trying to deal with a situation that is out of their control, and they're unhappy.
Now, you touch upon this in your recent article, Culture Wars. You talk about the West has fallen, traditionalism and Islamophobia. Can you go into this a little bit? You touch upon Dearborn, what happened recently.
Yeah.
You touch upon this hate provocateur, as you call him. And it's interesting that you mentioned him. Did you know that if you watch my video, he actually visited us here in Tampa? He's running for a position. Yeah. So I have a video. This is shortly after he had his stunt over there in Dearborn. So he shows up. I came a little bit late. The theme of the conference was gratitude to God. That was a theme. It was live streamed, Dr. Jones. Listen, it was live streamed, so everyone could see what was happening.
I think did we live stream?
It's live streamed also. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So anybody who doesn't know can look at the live stream.
Live streaming this. Is not a secret, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can watch it online. It's being live streamed.
There was a pastor that was there. We got him also testifying of his experience here.
Warmest, kindest, friendliest people.
We also have another Christian family that was here. It was open to everybody. Now, his spiel was that he infiltrated the event.
Tampa Bay Islam event. Going undercover.
And that we didn't allow him in until he said something. He posed as a Muslim and he said he was Mamdani's manager.
I told him I was Zoran Mamdani's campaign, social media campaign manager.
You can't make this stuff up.
Did he bring the pig's head with him?
He didn't bring the pig's head with him. But then when someone saw him and recognized him from Dearborn, they said, why are you faking, like, that you're Muslim? Then he did his whole spiel. He got up, made a scene. He was escorted out nicely. This is a family event. We don't need stuff like this. And then he got on his phone. He's like, look, they're not allowing Christians in here. These jihadis, they're kicking me out, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, send me some money. So it's
Yeah. No, this is. I think he was turned by the FBI. I think that the FBI is involved in this type of thing. Wow. It's a classic profile. Okay, he was in J6. I don't know what he did there, but he was in jail. And once you're in jail, the FBI comes to you and say, "Look, you can spend the next 20 years in prison if you like, or you can work with us." And so generally, people say, "Okay, I'll work for us." And so he became an agent provocateur. I think with FBI approval and FBI backing, the FBI is notorious for getting involved in this type of stuff in Michigan. They've done it before. They're always creating plots there. They're giving we had a plot there called the Hootery. It was six guys in a trailer park with a .22 rifle and one bullet. And the FBI shows up and they start giving him guns and all this other type of stuff to provoke this type of thing. They're notorious for this. And so I think that this is what's going on with Jake Lang. I mean, look, you don't have to come up with a theory here. He was obviously an agent provocateur. He's going through Dearborn, which is the most Muslim city in the country, and he's got the bacon. He's going to rub the bacon on the Quran, walking through a Muslim neighborhood. That's to promote violence. And then he's got a camera there, and he's going to take a picture of them, and then that will get money from the donors. But there's a bigger part here. I got involved with the FBI. They've come to my house to interview me after I went to Iran, but they also got involved with this so-called right-wing plot, the Dirty Dozen. Well, he ended up on the list, my group, my magazine, on the list of the FBI in Richmond, Virginia. And when that became public, it blew up in their face, and they started, people, senators would ask the head of the FBI, like, what is going on here? Why are you targeting conservative Catholics? Well, I think because what you have when you have a religion is you have an identity that threatens their narrative. And I think that's the point of this. So they were trying to associate traditional Catholics with white nationalism. They don't go together. Okay, Catholicism and whiteness do not go together. They're two completely different ideologies. But what they're trying to do is get the Catholics involved in these operations as a form of identity theft. So if you have an identity, if you have a religious identity, I've seen this in Dearborn. Okay, I was at the Arbaeen March in Dearborn. Now, you got all of these Muslims there, and they're all chanting and, you know, going on. Nobody said anything because I think it's a protected identity, even if you're a Muslim, which is usually you're not part of the triple melting pot of Catholic, Protestant, Jew. But if you have a religious identity, you are in some sense protected. So the point is, how do you strip people of their religious identity? Well, one of the things they do with Catholics is trying to turn Catholics into white people. And now if you're white, well, that's not a protected identity and they can do anything to you. That's, I think, what's going on here.
There was also the person running for governor in your article, I believe it was Hudson. Is it Anthony Hudson? And he came down there and then he visited some mosques, and he was also somebody who fell victim to the hate propaganda. I don't know if you saw his video where he says, "These are all lies." He actually sat with the Muslims. He ate with the Muslims.
From Dearborn, I want you to stop
talking about the hate in this town because it doesn't exist. I would trust my 17-year-old son walking down the street in this town. The stuff you see on the lamestream media is false.
And he retracted some of the things that he said.
Right.
But this Jacob Lang, the hate provocateur, he just kept on going with it. Even after the person who said this is false, you know, what he was told, and he saw firsthand.
Yeah, I have a son who lives in Dearborn. He's got he has eight children. They've gone to school, public school and Catholic school. They go to public school. There are Muslims in the school there. He told me that there was a creche in front of the city hall. This is a Muslim mayor, and they put a creche in front of the city hall, basically the place in Jerusalem where Jesus Christ is born. It's a standard thing. You have the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, you got camels and all this other type of stuff. And it's there in front of the city hall in Dearborn. Now, you wouldn't find that in Chicago. If you go, they have a big market in Chicago called the Christkindl Market. It's a German operation. The Germans come over and they try and sell you their cuckoo clocks and stuff like that. The first thing you see when you walk into the Christkindl Market in Chicago is a menorah, a huge menorah. This is the Christ Child Market. And the first thing you see, the only religious symbol you see, is the menorah. This is typical. This is not what happened in Dearborn.
Going back to this Jacob Lange, you mentioned the article. He had 11 felonies assaulting police officers. And it's very interesting that you had Trump who pardoned him. But isn't he now making Trump look very bad now? Because Trump put his name behind his release. So you think he's got a second chance to life, to turn his life around, to do some good in the world. But he's out there just causing disruption, disturbing the peace, terrorizing, you know, innocent, hardworking people out there. Doesn't this, at the end, make Trump look bad?
I don't know whether it makes Trump look bad or not. I mean, basically, the January 6th thing was entrapment. That was an entrapment scheme. The FBI had rehearsed that in Lansing, Michigan, before it happened in Washington. So the FBI lures these Michigan militia guys to Lansing, lets them in. They have guns now, too. Okay? They show up with their guns. The FBI lets them into the house, the government house, the Capitol in Lansing, to make a scene and then to turn that into something or other. You know, we're going to turn that into some type of big deal. Well, that's where it got started. It was started as an entrapment. So the people who got arrested for the January 6th thing, I think they had the sympathy of the public behind them because they knew that there was something wrong with what happened on January 6th. It just didn't happen. The people I know who were there were being lured into the Capitol so they could arrest them and turn it into an insurrection. I think that's why Trump pardoned these people.
And then, but you would think now that the person who pardoned, he wouldn't be showing up at religious houses of worship with decapitated pig's heads. I mean, what do you think if he was standing in front of a synagogue? What would happen if he was standing in front of a synagogue?
That's different. That's different.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's different. Yeah. This, if he did that in Florida, Ron DeSantis would have him taken out and shot. Florida has no freedom of speech. Ron DeSantis is the worst example of this type of politician that grovels for money. He signs this hate speech bill. He flew to Tel Aviv to sign the bill. So Ron, I thought Tallahassee was the capital of Florida. Why are you flying to Tel Aviv to do this?
So what do you think if he was in Florida, he went down to Boca Raton, he went down to Mar a Lago over there somewhere, Fort Lauderdale, and he stood in front of a synagogue like he did in Texas with a decapitated pig's head because Jewish people also, we don't want to respect anybody who of any religion. But look, he's also, they're kosher, halal, pretty much same thing, and he's doing the exact same stunt.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Are you saying there's a double standard here?
I'm asking you. You're the academic.
I think there's a double standard here. Okay, so if you're a Muslim, you're guilty until proven innocent. And if you do something that offends the Jews, they're going to throw the book at you. This is the outrageous double standard that exists in places like Florida and Texas. All these hotbeds of either actual people living there or Christian Zionism. Where the in Texas has all these crazy hate speech laws as well. So Abbott says during the whole COVID thing, oh, you're welcome to Texas. That's the free speech capital. We're not going to ban you up unless you say something you don't like. So we're all tired of this exceptionalism. Okay, we have a whole set of rules, but no Jew has to follow the rules. They're always above the law. I'm tired. This is not American.
Let me get into this next video and get your reaction to this.
I agree with that. Most Americans have more in common with each other than they disagree on. And almost everybody agrees on that. And almost everybody is willing to tolerate a good faith argument about how to get there. Except a few. And they're the ones running around calling everyone an anti-Semite. But everyone else is like, yeah, of course, that should be the debate. And they'll vote for you. They want that because they know they haven't had that. That's the fact. And what you're watching now, attacking people on the, attacking millions of Americans because they're Muslims? It's disgusting. And I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm never gonna, I know there's a lot of effort to claim I'm a secret jihadi. I'm not. You should not attack people on those grounds. And you're seeing it from Republicans. What the hell are you doing? What you're doing?
Your thoughts.
Well, this is why he's public enemy number one. Because he's destroying their narrative. The narrative is right now is that Muslims are responsible for everything bad that ever happened here. And then they're trying to pin this on him, and he's obviously not going along with it. And so that's why he's been demonized. He's public enemy number one. The problem is, with from their point of view, is the more they act this way, the more they're destroying their own narrative. I'm talking about people like Mark Levine or Rabbi Shmuley. Okay, you can have the algorithm, put them on 24/7, and you will bring about the exact opposite of what you want to bring about, because those people make, they create anti-Semitism. I guarantee you, they create, as soon as they get on and start ranting the way they do, they create anti-Semitism. And Tucker Carlson is pushing back. And that's basically the fundamental contest right now in America. The most recent thing is you got the guy, they come out and say, you have to denounce Tucker Carlson. All conservatives must denounce Tucker Carlson. They go to the head of the Heritage Foundation, which is one of the main conservative operations in Washington. And they go to this guy Roberts and say, you must denounce Tucker Carlson. And he says, no, wait a minute. I like Tucker Carlson. And then they put the pressure on him, probably behind the scenes, the big donors to the Heritage say, no, you got to do it. And he folds like a cheap suit. So let's get clear what you're doing here. Tucker Carlson has a big following among people who call themselves conservatives. Mark Levine is an obnoxious jerk. And so is Rabbi Shmuley. So what do you do? Do you want to, I'm asking you as a Republican, not you, but I'm saying in general, what do Republicans want to do? Do you want to win an election? Well, you better go with somebody like Tucker Carlson, who has a big following, or Candace Owens, they have a big following. Or do you simply want to turn your party into a rubber stamp for everything that with big money want, which is exactly the position, it's exactly the position that Charlie Kirk was in. Which way are you going to go? Do you want to win an election? Or, okay, you can kick all the Tucker Carlson people out of the Republican Party, and the next time you hold the Republican convention, you can hold it in a broom closet. You can have Mark Levine there, okay? And you'll probably have five other people, and that will be it. So which way are you going to go? That's precisely the problem that conservatism is facing right now. Who do you represent? Is it America first, or is it Israel first? Which is it?
It seems like really touched me when I was listening to Tucker. It hit home when he was talking about the Beatitudes of Jesus. And he gave examples. Blessed are the poor in spirit, where he talks about blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers, the humble. This is something that we'd agree with. These are amazing, amazing pieces.
Of course it is.
It seems like these are just pretty much out the window for many people who claim to be Christian. I don't understand. Even if you don't agree with some of the things of in Islam regarding Muslims, I mean, it seems like you'd have a better way of winning someone over with some of these teachings rather than the way many are going about it, trying to create Muslims as an enemy, number one, and now creating this huge division, which I wanted to show you this next video here kind of contradicts that and get your reaction to it, because this is also somebody who's spreading a lot of this misinformation. And I'm going to show you this video and then get your reaction to it.
Be cooperation in Bethlehem, where throughout the rest of the world, there's not just not cooperation, there's actually conflict. Whether it's in Western Europe and now in the United States.
Like in Bethlehem, since I was born, actually, I can tell that we live Christians and Muslims together, side by side. As you can see, backgrounds like the mosque in front of the church. And which is meaning that we are actually together. We're living in Bethlehem, this just neighbors, and we actually share the life of Bethlehem people here the same together. Like in the church, we have people like police helping us. They are Muslims, and they are taking care of this church. They are security. And we have also, and many people, we are actually grow up with them, neighbors, side by side, and with the same difficulties, the same problems, and with the same happiness. So as I said before,
I mean, that kind of goes against the narrative right here. You're seeing
look,
right there.
What is the big fear among the that peace might break out? That suddenly the people who they want fighting each other will start talking to each other and realize that we're not the problem. They're the problem. They're the problem. That's the fundamental fear they have. And so they're constantly trying to create instances of fear. I think the goes back to the Project for a New American Century, the 1990s, where they decide that they, in order to make the operation, in order to make the world safe for Israel, they're going to have to take out these seven countries. That became the basis of our foreign policy. And then beginning with 9/11, which was used as the excuse, the false flag operation was used as an excuse for these wars. The Muslims are the bad guys. I guess you got the message, didn't you? You're the source. The Muslims are the source of every single problem in the world. And so therefore, in order to be a good American, you have to hate Muslims. That's pretty much what's going on here.
Are you familiar with the Levant affair? I mean, does
sure am.
Isn't this telling? Sure like when you look back at things, and if you can espouse on the Levant affair for people who don't know much about it, but when you see that this, what you're talking about, the division, someone trying to create division, this was exposed in this Levant affair. Then you had the USS Liberty and other incidences where you were trying to divide Muslims, Americans, to hate Muslims by
right.
doing these kind of
right.
these type of false flags. Please.
Well, yeah, the Levant affair was in Egypt. The Israelis blew up a synagogue, attacked a synagogue. Israelis killed other Jews to create panic in the Jews. They'd all moved to Israel. That's I'm sorry, you know, we'll never get any decent investigations anymore. But that's my understanding of what happened in Bondi Beach in Australia. Okay, you got the they're going to have a Hanukkah celebration in public. Now, if everything was as bad as they were saying, you wouldn't have a Hanukkah celebration in public. You got synagogues where you can go there and you'll be in somewhat in control of who's coming in and not. So they got murdered there. And then I'm saying it was an Israeli false flag operation. They murdered their own people. And then immediately Netanyahu comes and says, you have to institute hate crimes legislation. You are bad people, the Australians. And so this prime minister folds like a cheap suit, punishes the Israeli people, I'm sorry, the Australian people for what was obviously a false flag operation perpetrated attacking others. The same thing happened with the beginning of the October 7th thing. That was a music festival there, okay? And there was a lot of Israelis there. And then there's an attack, and you look at the cars. They're trying to get out of there. You look at the cars, what happened to those cars? That could not happen with an AK-47. These were helicopter gunships run by the Israelis coming and killing their own people. They do it all the time. It's in the scriptures. When the high priest, were confronted with Jesus Christ, they said it's better for one man to die than for the nation to perish. That is the way they deal with their own people.
Yeah, this is very sad. Anytime any innocent life is taken, we condemn that across the board. I mean, and you had one of my guests, Max Blumenthal, he talks about the independent researchers and also from the Israeli media. They talk about the Hannibal Directive. They talk about...
Right.
Many of these things, officers who talk about some of the things that you're discussing, people can go and investigate that. But here's an interesting tweet on X that you posted. It says, this train station is a symbol of a spiritual affinity with Christians and Muslims share in their venerance of the Blessed Mother. It is also a symbol of a collaboration I prayed for when I attended Mass at the church next to the station. Can you go ahead and let people know what you're posting about here?
Yeah, I went to Iran the first time I went to Iran. or organized a Hollywoodism conference organized by the late Nader Talibzadeh, a guy who was studying film at NYU and then went back to Iran at the time of the revolution. He was a genius who could bring people together from all over the world. So the first time I'm there, I said, well, I it's Sunday. I got to go to Mass. They took me to Mass there. So it was a church. It's on the street. This is not like Saudi Arabia, okay, where you have to take your life in hands and go to a hotel room. This is a public building. The church is on the street. There's a cross on top of the church, and that's where I went to Mass. So that's what I was talking about in that particular instance.
I had no idea. Okay, that was from Iran. I wanted to just highlight here that when many people don't know that our deep love and reverence for not only Jesus, peace be upon him, but also his Blessed Mother Mary. There's a whole chapter in the Quran named after his Blessed Mother Mary. And you'll never see a Muslim saying any derogatory thing about Jesus or Mary. So I thought, this is what I was reflecting over when I saw you post this. I thought, wow, if more Christians knew this, you know, the reverence that Muslims have, she's one of the most honored women to right. Muslims, Mary.
So I went there and I'm trying to talk. I want to talk to people because I think that's what we're supposed to do as human beings, because that's reason. So I went to the mullahs, I went to Qom. And I'm talking with the mullahs there, and I'm trying to talk about sex, and is there a logos to sex? And I'm getting, I'll be honest, I'm getting nowhere with this guy. This guy is just, you can't talk to him. I've tried many times. Anyway, so we take a break. I go out onto the balcony, and then another mullah comes out and meets with me, and he says, look, he said, we're not trying to convert you. You're a believer. We'd like to work with you. I said, good. He said, we'll work together for peace until the return of the 12th Imam, when he returns out of the state of occultation. Jesus will be at his side. That's what he told me. So I said, good. That's what I want to do. I want to work with you because we are obviously being thrown into battle. There's a group of people that wants to use American citizens as cannon fodder in wars for Israel. And I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that. That's not in my interest, and it's not in the interest of the Iranian people. So I'm going to do everything I can to prevent that from happening. We're now once again in the middle of a psychological warfare attack on the Iranian people. There are Mossad agents there who are agitating, getting people to do things, blow things up, trying to destabilize the government because this has been their desire for a long time. I've been coming to Washington for 20 years now, trying to persuade whoever is president to send American troops to die for Israel in a battle they can't win against Iran.
In this final video, I want you to give me your reaction to this. I found it. It's one thing when you're talking about your opinions outside of a police uniform, but I would think that you have some kind of policy. Because now, if you're speaking something with the police uniform, you're held to a higher standard. So I wanted to get your response to this policeman here.
Understand that Islam is public enemy number one against Christ. Islam goes against everything Christ teaches. I don't care how this makes you feel. If you're uncomfortable with this, that just means you're uncomfortable with the truth that Christ came here to teach. Islam does not worship God, quote unquote. Islam worships Satan. Look at the Quran. Look at what they're teaching. Look at what's going on in Africa right now. They are killing these people because that's what they're supposed to do. They are killing Christians because that's what their Quran tells them to do. That's what Allah tells them to do. In their mind, them killing Christians is going to get them 72 virgins in heaven. That's what we're dealing with right now.
You know, when I hear this as a Muslim, and a Muslim is simply one when you translate the word someone who submits his will to the will of God. That's what a Muslim is. So, you know, I don't want to have nor any Muslim blood on their hands, because that's one of the first things you're going to be held accountable for on the day of judgment if you have innocent life on your hands. So many Christians, I don't know where they get this. There is verses in the Quran that are in combat verses, things in context of combat when you're fighting an enemy in combat. But the default verse in the Quran, and this is not, you know, for any, you probably know this already, Dr. Jones, but is chapter 60, verse 8, where it says, God does not forbid you from dealing kindly and justly with those who have not fought you because of your religion or driven you out of your homes. And we'll put this up. This is the covenant of Prophet Muhammad with the Christian. And it states, they, the Christians, are my citizens. I shall defend them against any harm. No compulsion shall be on them. Their churches shall not be destroyed. It is my command that Muslims protect them until the end time. This is sealed by Prophet Muhammad. So so now when someone comes out like this, he's a Christian, obviously, talking about Muslims worship the devil. Every time we recite the Quran, we seek refuge with God from the accursed devil. You know, and it really... what are your thoughts when you see a policeman in uniform talking like this? Because he's supposed to be upholding the Constitution. He's supposed to be somebody who now is held to a higher standard. But
okay, let's have a thought experiment here. Suppose he said that in uniform about. Would he be unemployed now?
Are you back to the double standards conspiracy?
There seems to be a double standard here. Do we have this double standard?
You and all these double standards, Dr. Jones. What's going on?
This is obvious. Unbelievable. That you can get away with things, that you can say these type of things that's not true. So how do you get away with doing this? Well, I think there are people who know that you can kind of acquire privilege if you do what the Jews want. They'll give you money and so on and so forth. We just had Bishop Barron. Bishop Barron is not some yahoo. He's an educated guy. He's a bishop of the Catholic Church in good standing. And he just launched into an incredibly stupid attack on Iran. Why are you blaming the victim here? Iran is the victim of aggression, joint American-Israeli aggression. If you want to know why they're demonstrating, it's because of American sanctions that have caused huge inflation and the people don't have enough money to buy things to eat now. And the Mossad is there deliberately agitating. This is obviously a fact. And here you've got a bishop of the Catholic Church completely accepting the narrative. This is the kind of crisis that we are facing right now. Go ahead.
That's very interesting. A thought experiment. Just go and watch this video again. And any time where he says Islam, put Judaism and put Talmud in there for Quran, replace it. And would he still have a job? That's very interesting.
Yeah. So what about the scripture? Am I allowed to quote scripture? I'm a Catholic. I believe in God. I believe in the Bible and so on and so forth. So I meet this graduate student at Notre Dame. She's studying theology. So I said to her, who said that the Jews are the people that killed Christ and are enemies of the entire human race? Without missing a beat, she said, Adolf Hitler. I said, no, wait a minute. That's St. Paul. St. Paul, remember him? You're studying theology at Notre Dame University, and you don't even know that St. Paul said that, because it's been complete, this conflict between the Jews who accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the Jews who killed them has been completely erased from academe, from Catholic academe. So the people don't even know their own scriptures. This is part of the problem here. When is Bishop Barron going to talk about the Israeli atrocities in Gaza? Why are you not talking about that?
Who was the person you just mentioned? Bishop who?
Bishop Barron, Robert Barron. He's like the media bishop now, the media Catholic. So he can give you, you know, a relatively accurate understanding of what the Catholic faith believes, as long as it doesn't have anything to do with Jews. As soon as the Jew enters the picture, everything is put on hold. So he did an interview with Ben Shapiro. And Ben Shapiro's there. Well, am I screwed? That's what he said. He actually said, am I screwed? Am I going to hell? Now, Bishop Barron dances around this thing, blah, blah, blah. There's one question, Ben. If you ask me the question, I'm a Catholic bishop, the first response is, are you baptized? Have you been baptized? If you refuse to be baptized, you cannot be saved. Okay? Now, there are other conditions you could talk about, but that's the fundamental issue dealing with Ben. He refused to say that. He refused to say that. So he will be responsible for Ben Shapiro's damnation at the end of his life, because he refused to preach the gospel. So it's okay to preach the gospel as long as you don't say anything that offends a special group of people. We've got to put an end, again, I'm going to say it again, to this double standard. We got to end this double standard. It's not American. It's not Christian. It's not rational. And we have to have a world where everybody plays according to the same rules and one group doesn't have this privilege to be above the law, whatever the law is, whether it's murder, whether it's lying, whatever it is. Got to stop that.
Last question before we conclude. So in your article, you talk about this deliberate attempt now to shift attention to a certain group of people, i.e. the Muslims, Islam, to kind of, because of what just happened in Gaza, because of what's happening there. And your article talks about now this is orchestrated, this is set up and is funded to go ahead and create this fear of Muslims and Islam. This is deliberate.
It is deliberate. So I've already told you, I think that Jake Lang is working with the FBI. I've already made my case in that article. I'm going
to... You mentioned in the article the Sheldon Group, you mentioned, and others. So this is organized. There is a...
No, I think you're talking about the Shulman.
Shulman, yes.
Shulman Foundation. Shulman Foundation will fund anything as long as you bash Muslims. They'll give you money for whatever you do. And wow, he's receiving money. Shulman Foundation.
Why?
Yeah, that's
why?
Right.
Why? What's the agenda? Why?
Because the Jews don't like, they want to have conflict. There aren't enough to get a trash collector elected to pick up trash. They never have enough people, so they always have to convince the other group, the bigger group, to carry water for them, to take their narrative. That's what they have to do. That's what they're doing here. That's why they have to get the Catholics on board. They have to hire people. This Shulman, there's a group called the Philos Project. They are funded by Paul Singer, the big vulture capitalist. And they're hired to attack people like me and say that I'm not a good Catholic because I don't support Israel or something like that. There's money trail is all over the place. You can follow. This Philos group claims to be Catholic. He got $5 million from Paul Singer, and their job was to attack Catholics who get off the reservation.
So these would be the Zionists who are orchestrating all of this?
Well, all of what? Certainly Jake Lang is being supported by a group of people. Mm. The Shulman Foundation is giving him money to do this. Mm. So yeah, it is taking place. When I was in Dallas, okay, I'm a Knight of Columbus. It's a fraternal organization for Catholics. Signed a contract. They violated my contract. I said, wait a minute. So the guy won't even talk to me. I'm a brother knight, fella, and he won't even talk to me. The Islamic Association of Irving, Texas took me in, okay, right after that. And so I gave my talk there. So I'm going around to my fellow Catholics at the Oktoberfest. This is all the conservative Catholics here. And I'm saying, yeah, come to my talk. Oh, sure. Where is it? It's at the Islamic Center. I'm not going there. Wow. Well, wait a minute. What are you afraid of?
Why won't you go there? Why?
Is it like a contagious disease? Right. Are you going to contract Islam because you walk inside the door? This is the type of stupid bigotry that I've been trying to deal with among Catholics.
Dr. Jones, thank you for being with us again.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Take care. God bless you.